Welcome to the Strategy Driven Editorial Perspective Podcast, where we examine the marketplace uncertainty created by today's headline events and the actions business leaders should take to ensure their organizations succeed under these circumstances. In this episode, we'll examine the unnecessary uncertainty created by the U.S. government's expanded control over the nation's economy, gained through new regulations and bailouts. So now, without any further delays, let's get started. Recent government action ignited a new debate regarding the extent of federal control over the marketplace. While some would correlate the government's degree of control to that of its spending, we believe this relationship to be inappropriate because purchasers exert indirect influence over an organization. Instead, we suggest the government's direct control over an industry or organization stems from its majority ownership position or significant regulation of those groups. Therefore, we believe the federal government controls approximately 51% of the nation's economy as derived by its ownership and regulatory controls of the U.S. financial industry, representing approximately 33% of the U.S. marketplace. The U.S. government gained control through the Troubled Asset Relief Program, or TARP, and separate bailouts of mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. The U.S. healthcare industry, representing approximately 17% of the U.S. marketplace. The U.S. government gained control through the passage of healthcare legislation in March 2010. And other major U.S. businesses, representing approximately 1% of the U.S. marketplace. The U.S. government gained control through bailout purchases of stock from companies such as General Motors and Chrysler. This belief is shared by some in government, including U.S. Representative Michelle Bachmann, who said, "Now we have the federal government taking over ownership or control of 51% of the American economy." So why is all of this important? The federal government has shown itself to be anything but a passive owner. After taking control of General Motors, the federal government expelled the CEO of that company. Similarly, the federal government has limited, and in some cases reduced, the compensation packages of the senior executives of those companies that have received financial bailouts. Thus, the government, and not the private marketplace, is now dictating these business rewards. And why should this be a concern for any business other than those directly involved? Activist government participation in the marketplace suggests that politicians may take other actions to the benefit of those organizations the government owns. In fact, they already have. Aggressive attacks against a competing organization, as is evident by the recent General Motors ad campaign specifically targeting its besieged competitor Toyota, and the extensive public congressional hearings involving Toyota executives over its car's sudden acceleration problems. None of Toyota's other competitors waged ad campaigns specifically targeting the automaker, nor was the government as publicly vocal when poor maintenance practices at one of its Tennessee Valley Authority coal plants created one of the worst environmental disasters in U.S. history on December 22, 2008. This past activism suggests politicians may be willing to aggressively seek to dictate terms to suppliers of its organizations, not only in the name of good business practice, but for political reasons supporting those in government. Combined this with the fact that the federal government exerts significant direct ownership and control over approximately 51% of the U.S. market, and it becomes evident that government officials will influence a vast number of businesses within the United States. So what actions should the leaders of the strategy-driven organization take? First, when at all possible, organizations should consider conducting their financial business with only those financial institutions not controlled by the U.S. government, namely, those organizations that have not received and do not appear to be at risk of receiving government bailout funds, such that the government could then dictate the terms of their business operations. The goal is to minimize the organization's exposure to government-imposed stipulations associated with any borrowing that cannot be immediately paid back, so to avoid such stipulations. Second, businesses should seek to diversify their portfolios such that they are not overly reliant on the sale of products and/or services to controlled organizations. The goal is to provide flexibility such that the organization could shift or cease business relationships with those government-controlled organizations should unacceptable terms be demanded. Third, businesses should factor in an additional risk if entering into the market of a government-controlled organization. The goal is to account for the almost unlimited financial backing the federal government provides controlled organizations and its apparent willingness to use that funding to succeed in the marketplace. And fourth, minimize consumption of government-controlled organizational products. The goal is to minimize the risk exposure the organization faces should politicians seek to exert influence through the restriction of needed products or services. Additionally, this practice recognizes that government employees are typically better compensated than their private sector counterparts. In principle, these actions are not to suggest an organization not do business with the federal government, government-controlled organizations, or within government-controlled industries. Rather, we suggest an organization not become overly reliant on the business transactions conducted with such entities in order to be able to resist government dictates over the organization's business operations. Such standards, quantity, and pricing dictates do come from other large organizations such as Walmart. Unlike these cases, however, politically motivated government officials are more likely to build in additional social program requirements as a part of their dictates, thereby inflating a company's overall costs and subsequently jeopardizing its ability to provide market-competitive products and services to its other buyers. The only way to avoid such government intrusion is to ensure sufficient diversification exists in the organization's financial support, supply chain, and customer base. Now some final notes. Strategy Driven is aware that several reputable organizations, such as FactCheck.org and CBS, have refuted the notion that the federal government controls 51% of the U.S. economy. All of these organizations base their position on the fact that the annual government spending accounts for approximately 20% of GDP. We respectfully disagree. A purchaser, even a major purchaser, of an organization's products and services exerts an indirect influential control over an organization. The greater the percentage of an organization's output that is purchased, the greater the force of indirect influence that can be exerted. While the federal government's 20% of GDP purchasing power gives it significant marketplace influence, this is not the type of direct control referenced in the assertion that the government owns or controls 51% of the U.S. economy. Direct control is very different. With direct control, an individual or institution gains the authority to dictate the actions of the controlled business. Direct control comes from one of two means: ownership or regulation. Through its bailout purchase of a majority share of corporate stock, the U.S. government has gained control over numerous businesses such as General Motors. Through the recently passed healthcare regulation, the government has dictated the product and service offerings and prices of numerous companies, as well as the purchasing habits of all U.S. citizens within this space. the government's direct control over numerous businesses, begotten through ownership and regulatory policy, is why Strategy Driven believes the U.S. government has control over 51% of the U.S. economy. The firing of GM's CEO and caps and reductions of CEO salaries, as cited earlier, further illustrate the government's use of its direct control over businesses that were once part of the private sector. As always, Strategy Driven is not taking a position as to whether or not this degree of ownership and control by the federal government is appropriate. Instead, we simply highlight the consequences of these actions, namely that political forces will now intermingle with market forces to dictate the course of business. Given the extent of the government's control over the previously private marketplace, this introduction of political drivers will have significant ramification and warrants consideration and responsive action by business executives and managers. Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed this edition of the Strategy Driven Editorial Perspective Podcast. We've shared our view and invite you to share yours at www.strategydriven.com. Until next time, so long.